As promised, we're joined right now by an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He appears every Sunday on the NFL Today during the regular season and the playoffs. We happen to consider him a very good friend of the show. He is the co-host of Inside Access on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, which is an excellent program. He is Jason Lockenfora, JLC. It has been a minute or two since we last spoke. JLC, how are you and your family doing? How is your life right now?
We're doing well, Jim. I can't come close to complaining. We've been pretty lucky, by and large, in terms of the virus. And you know, we're as happy and healthy as can be. So we've been very lucky, and hope you guys are doing well also. And just saying our prayers for those who aren't, because obviously this country is in bad shape in a lot of ways right now.
I would agree with you. I could not say that any better. Things are pretty good here, Jason, but you're right about everything else. So the NBA, Jason, is scrimmaging in the bubble. Major League Baseball started last night. And this past weekend, you've got numerous NFL players tweeting about wanting to play, but they were concerned about COVID issues. Bring us up to date. Where do things stand right now between the players and the owners?
Yeah, I mean, look, by and large, I have to tip my hat to the owners, the league office, the players, and the NFLPA, because this hasn't been as acrimonious, not even close to as acrimonious as the baseball negotiations got. And I think this is most like baseball, because to your point, Jim, about, you know, Orlando and bubbles, there is no real, you know, it's not a hard and fast bubble in baseball, and certainly football's plans. It would be almost impossible to have a bubble with the number of people required to get through an average NFL practice day, let alone game day. But obviously they're not, you know, going the bubble route either. There's still a lot of economic issues to be resolved. They've come very far on the health and safety side, and it's always money at the end. I mean, we're talking about billions of dollars in projected revenue, and now billions of dollars less in projected revenue because of the impact of COVID-19 and no fans or minimal fans, et cetera. I feel like I've always felt like they'll find a way to get this done. These are elite athletes, ultra competitors who want to compete, and these are billionaires who want to make money, and they'll find a way to find enough common ground to get this thing off the ground. I guess the $25 billion question is, how long can they keep it afloat?
Right.
Can they get through a four-month regular season and another 5-6 weeks of playoffs? Is that going to prove to be feasible, or are we looking at an interrupted season, which that's been the way it's gone with COVID and every other sports league to this point?
So, I mean, Jason Lockenfora, my guest, is there any way, JLC, to even speculate, like given your conversations with general managers, how likely is it that the season will start on time and that every team will play every game?
I don't even know how you put a number on it, you know, a percentage or how you label it. It looks tough. I mean, I've talked to some GMs who figure you could get 12 games in and maybe a truncated playoff. I've talked to others who, you know, we're in a conversation and he's like, when the season starts, and then like a 3-second pregnant pause and if the season starts. I mean, everyone sort of does their own mental calculus on this, right? And you look at what's going on in your own community and then what's going on in some of these other communities around the country where they do play NFL football. And it's hard to project an hour or a day into the future, but you start thinking, well, if those numbers don't change, and then you start thinking about, well, man, pretty soon we're going to have a couple hundred people in this building, and we're going to be getting tested for 2 weeks every single day, and we're going to be able to jump to the head of the line and get our results within 18 to 24 hours. But at that hospital down the road, there's no ICU beds, and there's not enough ventilators. And people in Arizona are waiting in line for 3 hours in their cars in the desert heat in the summer to try to get tested. You know, it's that kind of stuff, Jim, when you start projecting the health side of it. And then, you know, the number of people, again, the human capital it takes to have an NFL practice, let alone an NFL game. What are the odds that without a bubble that it doesn't start becoming a roster issue? So you look at the health and safety of the teams themselves and the coaches and the ancillary employees. You look at the health and safety in those communities. You look at the efficacy of testing. And you look at it from an economic, moral and ethical standpoint. And then you look at it from a resources and medical resources standpoint. And will there be a point or multiple points where it just becomes not the thing to do in multiple NFL cities.
See, that's the thing. You lay it out like that, and you see that it's a Herculean task, and then you ask yourself, is it even the right thing to do? Jason Lockenfor is my guest. You know, aside from that, you know, you have this really interesting piece, JLC, up on CBSSports.com about the Patrick Mahomes contract and Dak Prescott's contract situation. You know, when you consider that the league has not even begun to scratch the surface on gambling revenue,
yep.
What do you think teams around the league thought when they saw Mahomes sign that contract? In other words, were they upset, or maybe were they happy?
No, I think there was a lot of virtual high fiving going on. A lot of smiles conveyed from one salary cap manager of a team over Zoom to the general manager. If the norm becomes players signing away 12 years of their career for present day dollars in a pandemic, before we even get into this new CBA, which is 10 years of labor peace, and before we even get into the new broadcast deals, which are going to be massive, and before we even get to a point where there is a vaccine for this thing, and before we even get back to a point where there's people in stadiums again, if he's willing to sign away 12 years now for rolling injury guarantees and $63 million over the first 3 years, if the Ravens could, and they can't because they can't negotiate with Lamar until after the season, but if they could put that contract in front of Lamar and his mom right now, I guarantee you they would. The scenario that keeps people up at night is, you know, if the Kirk Cousins situation, which to this point has been an anomaly, starts becoming a little more the norm, and Dak Prescott's about halfway home to making that happen. And Dak Prescott, when he gets tagged again next year, that's 70 for two. Again, Mahomes is 63 for three. By the time we get to 2022, if Dak's on the open market, I got news for you. He's going to be making more than 42 a year. It might be closer to 45, depending on how robust the NFL's financial state is. And again, we're probably out of the down caps from COVID by that point. So let's just be conservative and say, you know, it's 42. It's $112 million in the next 3 years. Again, Mahomes is 63. I don't think we'll see another contract like Mahomes for a superstar caliber player probably ever again. But I do think at some point we're going to see other quarterbacks go the Cousins route, and Dak very well maybe the next.
Jason Lockenfor, my guest, for a few more moments. So, JLC, just to finish that thought, why do you think that Mahomes did agree to that deal when he did, before the gambling revenue and in the middle of a pandemic and so on and so on? Why?
Well, everything I heard at the time was he was just sort of the idea of the 450 or the 500, that's where his head was at. The gross numbers, like, you promised me that much money, and even if I look underpaid, you know, for 9 of the next 12 years, I can live with that. And he's going to make a ton off the field. He went out of his way to be super team-friendly again in those first 3 years where he's making hardly any. I mean, okay, $63 million is a lot of money. But 3 years for the best quarterback on the planet to earn $63 million is a long time by any metric of quarterback contract value. So he's allowing them to keep Jones and keep, really, they got no excuse not to keep anybody the next few years. So he wanted to be team friendly in that regard. And I was told that he wanted it to be done, that he didn't want it hanging over him or the organization anymore. You know, he 450 and then 503 with incentives. That's cool. I'll take it. But the structure and what he has to do to get there, I don't see anybody else taking it.
Jason Lockenfor, my guest. JLC, one last thought. What about the Washington football team? What do you make of the Washington football team calling itself the Washington football team this season?
You know, I think, look, there's so much going on with the Washington football team right now. I mean, this is happening in almost August. The season's about to kick off. They've got to reshape their organization. They're making hires and letting people go because of the Washington Post investigation into their culture of sexual harassment and how women were treated in that building who were employees and also non-employees who just wanted to cover the football team. They didn't do this of their own volition 3 months ago, right, and do all their marketing research and have all the time in the world to do it. This was foisted upon them when Nike and FedEx said, we don't want your money anymore, and we're not going to sell your jerseys anymore. So it's been a wild scramble, and they're firing personnel guys, they're hiring a new communication staff, they got to hire a new play-by-play guy. You know, they have Julie Donaldson in there now overseeing, they have a new head of media, she's got to hire web people. I mean, and 40% of the ownership group, Jim, wants to get the hell out of there. So the idea that they were going to do this nickname in a matter of weeks and get the new logos done and start printing those T-shirts and jerseys, I think was always a bridge too far. So this is what they have to do to get them to 2021. So be it.
He's the NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. And, of course, Jason appears every Sunday on the NFL Today during the regular season and the postseason, co-host of Inside Access on 105.7, The Fan in Baltimore. GLC, good to hear your voice and always good to have you on the show. Thank you very much.
Always my pleasure, brother. Have a great weekend.
You too, brother. GLC, my guy.